This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, we're going to go to the phones and kick things off today with our good friend Dan Johnson, General Manager of Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. Drive east and pay the least has been their tagline for years, and I have believed it for years because that's where I buy my vehicles. Dan, good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you, Scott?
Good, man. Thanks so much for being with us.
Sure.
Hey, you know, I want to get into some things with what's going on at the dealership and how things are going now in the automotive business, but I want to do something a little different. Hey, all the years we've never done this, but with all the clients we could have, but had a coworker here a couple months ago, Sandy Thompson, and Sandy's with us. So Sandy, first time for us to be in studio together.
Well,
how are you?
It's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
But yes. Sandy, I was walking through the halls and Sandy said, Scott, do you do something with cars, or do you know somebody good with cars? And I said, I absolutely do. And I said, I would love to take you over to Lynn Lyle Chevrolet and introduce you. And matter of fact, Sandy and I were just talking, Dan, and I told her, I said, look, whenever I do this, I always tell people there's no pressure whatsoever. I just want to take you to people I trust. And if you find something you like, great. If you don't, you'll make a new friend with Dan Johnson. So no big deal. Mm-hmm. So, Sandy, I'll let you pick up the story from there and just say what you would like to say.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Well, hello, Dan. I'm so happy that I had the opportunity to come to Lynn Lyle, and I am one happy customer.
Well, that's the way we like it.
So what happened was I had paid over $2,500 in my old car, never had a car payment for the last 10 years, but I had a huge oil leak, and the mechanic said it's time to get rid of it, and I didn't know what direction to go. So I knew that Scott was a consumer advocate, so I came right to him. And that day, Scott's like, I'm taking you over to Lynn Lyle. And I go, today? You're taking me? And he said, yes. And so we came over, and I want to tell everyone that Dan, the general manager, met us at the door and took us in the office and asked me, you know, you were looking as to what my needs were and what I could afford. And it was just a wonderful, pleasant experience for me. And the young man, Brandon, salesman, brought this beautiful 2017 Chevrolet Trax. I'd never even heard of the car, but it was made just for me. Beautiful car. And the first car I saw, and I said, I want that. That's the car for me. And Mr. Johnson really did work with me. Believe me when I say he worked with me, he made it fit my budget.
Yeah. And you know, Sandy, it's something, I think just the way, and Dan, we've talked about this through all the years you've been doing the show and all, but, you know, some people, and I'm not going to say some dealerships didn't deserve, you know, some of the treatment that you have. You've always seen the commercials where the guy's growing a beard. It takes him so long to get out of the finance office and all things. And Dan and I have always said this, Sandy, this doesn't have to be hard,
right?
Buying a car, Dan. You know, and Dan, you always say, and we've said, people are fair-minded. Hey, first thing is to find a vehicle you like, and if you do, then I've never, and I can honestly say this, in probably, I don't know, 12 years, I have never had one person that I've taken over there that have left overpriced. Really never even gotten into a discussion over price, really,
yes,
that much. And Dan, that's just the way that you guys, you know, do business. And I know you took care of us, but, you know, I'm proud to say, hey, you do that for everybody. I mean, you guys want repeat business, and the way you're going to do that is to take care of people and have that reputation, right?
And that's exactly right. I mean, you know, there's a lot of car dealers that holler on TV and the radio, and, you know, they're just looking for the one and done kind of thing, and that's not the way we do it here. I mean, I look at every month, and I don't know, 70-80% of our car deals for the month are repeat or referral, and that's just how we build our business. And, you know, in order to do that, you do have to take care of people, and we try. And if, you know, if I have a problem, I'm here for you. So, you know, if anything happens down the road, you know, I'll get you I'll get you fixed up. So I stay with you there.
That's wonderful. And I do want to thank you, Mr. Johnson, for really taking care of me that day. I left there, and I'm still so very happy. And I want to thank Scott, because if it wasn't for Scott, I don't know what I would have done.
Well, it was a pleasure. And again, it all stems back from just, you know, having a good business that knows how to treat customers and doesn't look at the, you know, the 1 minute for the sale of what's going to happen right there, but they're looking at that long-term picture, because, you know, it's something to find a vehicle that you like and that you're comfortable with and your budget and all that. But then also, hey, as a female, as a guy, I buy the extra warranty. And yes. So this is something, and this wasn't a hard sell. And I think I want to be very careful how I say this, because the extra warranty to you that they just informed you, and you could have bought it or not bought it, but that gave you comfort.
Yes.
You know, as just being by yourself, that, hey, I've got a good warranty too with a pre-owned car.
That's right. That's right. I'm very happy. And anyone out there that needs a new car, just go stop by Len Lyle Chevrolet. You will be happy when you leave there. I promise you.
All right. Well, good deal.
That's so nice. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So, Dan, what's going on out there? And, man, what's the temperature in the car business now?
Oh, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny. I know interest rates are a little bit of a challenge. But, you know, as a result of that, you know, prices have come down a little bit. We're getting a few more rebates on new ones. And we're getting some stock. So, you know, that's something we hadn't been able to say in, I don't know, 18 months, couple of years. So, you know, we're still, you know, rocking and rolling and, you know, selling cars and doing the best we can. And, you know, everything's, you know, housing, gas, you know, all all talked about. You know, we all have to deal with it. We still got to drive and go to work and, you know, buy cars and service cars. So we're here. We got a lot of cars inbound. I have, like I said, some stock here, which is great, and a lot of pre-owned. So we're here. We're ready.
Absolutely. And, you know, thinking about this, I mean, you're saying you're talking about a 2017 vehicle. And when you do trade-ins and you buy cars, sometimes when people hadn't even bought a car from you, you'll just buy a car. But kind of talk about just kind of the steps that you guys go through, you know, before you put that on your lot.
I mean, I always run it. You know, unfortunately, I like to say that I get a lot of good trade-ins, but a lot of times people trade in their cars because they do have problems. And, you know, like Sandy told, I mean, she told me she had problems, so mm-hmm. I appreciated that very much. And, you know, I just took her car straight to the auction because I didn't want to, you know, sell it to someone and them have problems.
Sure.
But we run them all through service department. There's a multi-point check that, you know, we check oil leaks, we check tires brakes, you know, all the safety stuff. And, you know, and then make sure they're, you know, of our caliber to sell, and then, you know, fully detail them and, before we put them on the lot. And that, I think, Sandy, in your case, that we had just, I mean, like the day before brought it up, you know, it just got out. So, you know, your timing was great. And that was a nice little car, too.
Yes, really nice. Beautiful car. Love it.
And you even, Sandy, what was so funny real quick, you even said, oh, what color did you want?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. I told him I love red.
Yeah, and we had no idea. And all of a sudden, here comes around the corner this red truck.
That's right.
And she's like, that's it.
Yes.
That's it.
I think I was very blessed on that day, and I continue to be blessed. So I want to thank you very much, both of you.
Well, you are more than welcome, Sandy. We're glad we could help you.
Yes, ma'am.
And also, hey, let me mention, you know, of course, at Len Lyle Chevrolet, it's really your one-stop shop for everything from sales to service and even the body shop. And I have been a customer of all three for several years. But it is, Dan, a great place just to come. And I was just talking with a guy the other day that talked about he went to a fast lube place and had an oil change. But then, to be honest, I cannot remember what the other issue was, but it's something that – there's no doubt in my mind your team would have noticed just by changing the oil. And so I always tell people, hey, man, yeah, you're wanting the quick lube job, so to speak, but also just to get that look over where somebody's not going to send you out with something dangerous too.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a little more to that too that we've talked about a little bit. That, you know, if there is a problem down the road, General Motors or Chevrolet, I'll say, you know, show me that they did the maintenance on their cars. Yeah. And if you know, you're doing it here, there, everywhere, and you don't keep the records, you know, they may deny a warranty claim, you know, where if it's in our system, you know, General Motors knows it. So, you know, it's, you know, no questions asked. Boom, the customer did the maintenance. Let's fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a little more to that story. And we don't cost anymore.
Sure. No, absolutely.
You know,
and I tell you,
think we do, but we don't.
Yeah, and all the timely, you know, fashion. Hey, everybody's in a hurry, but man, you know, I come over and get all my oil changes, and I pull in, and usually a little shy of an hour, you know, I'm out and back on the road again. And I know I got great service, so you know, you guys do a great job there as well. And you do tires and everything. I want to tell everybody that. Hey, we're getting into that time of year. You better check your tires and make sure you got good tires, especially going up in the mountains and all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, and when we pull the tires, we look at the brakes and make sure, you know, everything's good to go. You know, we just don't slap a set of tires on and say, here you go. You know, we still do a multi-point inspection and make sure, you know, we don't see anything that, you know, could be dangerous or a problem down the road. So,
right.
Yes, we do everything.
You know, all right. Everything. Well, as Sandy said, get by and see Dan. Hey, just give him a chance to earn your trust and earn your business. And I'm telling you, you will see how easy they can make a car purchase. Just very simple and fun. And relatively quickly as well, as we mentioned, they'll respect your time. So it's Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, just right off Colfax and 225. When you stop in, be sure you meet Dan. Let him know you heard about him here on Haystack Help Radio, and we'd appreciate that as well. So, Dan, thanks again, bud. Always good to have another happy customer.
No, it is. And thank you very much, Sandy. I appreciate the compliment, and y'all take care of yourself, okay?
All right, bud, you too. That's Dan Johnson, General Manager of Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. Get by and see him. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Rates just keep going up, making it harder to buy or refinance a home. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Make your 30-year payment, but own your home in 15 years, all while paying half the interest. Have access to your equity for 30 years without having to refinance and pay more fees. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. There are thousands of customers taking advantage of this simple interest loan. It's times like this when you can really save in your interest costs and pay less. Go to AIMortgage.net and see our Google reviews about the Asset Manager Mortgage. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Get up to 90% loan-to-value and up to $2 million in loan amount, all at the same rate as a $100,000 loan. Whether you want a condo, second home, investment, or cash out, all come with the same rate. No more paying higher fees and higher rates. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Pay less interest and own your home faster. Call 720-895-0500. NMLS 298-191, regulated by DOR, equal credit lender.
Before we get back to our guests, let me tell you about Stack Optical. And I just want to say a personal word of thanks to Alan for taking care of me, my wife, Victoria, and our optical needs, and many friends that we've sent there. And Alan has been doing a great job there. Family owned and operated since 1968 is Stack Optical. And it's only $69 for an eye exam. So call them today, 303-321-1578. And mention you heard them here on KLZ 560, and we'd appreciate that. But hey, if you're looking for some new glasses, they've got a great selection of frames. If you need contacts, maybe you've broken your glasses and you need repairs, it's a one-stop shop, so to speak, at Stack Optical. Hey, it's free parking, easy parking at their location right off Monaco and Evans, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, 303-321-1578. StackOptical.com is a website. Check it out. And as I always say at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Do you know what direction the stock market will go? Nope, no one does. But it's extremely important to discover the tools you can use if the market goes up, down, or sideways. These same tools could be used for income strategies or long-term wealth strategies. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 and join us for a free investing class right here at OTA. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 today. Also, check out the podcast, Investing and Trading Live, wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Outdoorsman's Attic is Colorado's very own outdoor gear consignment store.
From live bait to lanterns, firearms to ammo, packs to sleeping bags, all the fishing gear you could ever hope for. And if you need some decoys for the waterfowl season, stop into the Outdoorsman's Attic. Hey, this is Scott Watley here again for my friends at the Outdoorsman's Attic, and they've got hunting, fishing, and camping gear with huge savings up to 70%. You'll find new and pre-owned items to choose from, and since the inventory changes daily, hey, this is a store you need to stop in at least a couple of times a week. Reviews, here's what a few of their customers have said. Cody says, hey, two floors of pure outdoorsman paradise. Mickey said, I love this place. Great small business, family owned and run, lots to look at and good prices. Amy says, if you need good camping and outdoor gear, go here first. Support a local small business. Such great finds. Everyone is so nice and helpful. So save big. Get to the Outdoorsman's Attic today on all of your outdoor gear. 2650 West Hamden Avenue in Sheridan. Tell them Scott sent you.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, today at 3. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being with us. Always good to have Alan Stack in with us. It is Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway since 1968. They have been taking care of folks, and again, we've been using Alan here for a number of years. My wife, Victoria, just went over recently and got a new pair of glasses, and they do a great, great job. And Alan, I tell you, one thing I like about it is, I mean, this is really what you do, and I've just heard this from other people, so I'm not slamming other big box stores that have optical places, but man, the training just does not scratch the surface, so to speak, of what Stack Optical offers.
Yeah, we're constantly learning. It's just, you know, bringing up your wife, we did a custom shape on her.
Mm-hmm.
I do that a lot. Very few places can do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we look at a frame and they go, boy, that'd be really cool if it was a little bit deeper. No problem.
I know when she first told me that, I go, right. Well, I said, I said, only Alan can do that.
Yeah, no, I can do custom shapes and that type of thing. That works out really well. And then the other thing we were talking about was computer glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was talking about that pilot glasses that I really like that are for shooters. Well, same thing with these computer glasses. Now I've got some lenses now that I can make it so the whole top is intermediate, a little bit of distance at the very top so you could tilt your head down and see who's walking in the room, but hold your head comfortably and see your screen and then look down to read. And I have a couple different designs for that. So it all depends on what you need. Some people work with three screens.
Right.
You know, I can work with that.
That's a lot of wear on our eyes, isn't it? Somebody staring at a computer screen 13, 14 hours a day or something.
Yes. As a matter of fact, talking about contact lens wear,
mm-hmm.
You remember, I don't know, when you were wearing contacts when, like in the 90s, were you wearing contacts in the
90s? Yeah, I tried some then, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So the biggest problem we had then was people were staring and not blinking. Well, If you don't blink, that's what dries out your eyes. You know, those contacts got to stay moist. So what do? They get it from your tears. Well, you're not pumping tears if you're staring all the time. So we used to put little sticky notes that says blink. Now I'm having people, now I'm getting back to what we're talking about computer glasses, is look in the distance. So look away. So you have a sticky note on your computer that says look away. So we are exercising our eyes. So we're not staying at one distance all the time.
Sure. Wow. All right. Now, Charlie actually brought up something during our break here about eye exam. We've talked about it before on previous shows, but yours is very thorough. I didn't even know this, but there are actual, I don't know, websites or apps you can use that supposedly do an eye test on your eye.
It's your a refraction. There's a big difference between an eye test and a refraction.
Okay. Tell us about that.
Okay. So the refraction is just to get those numbers. So, you know, I tell people, you know, you need to come in early for an eye exam. Well, my prescription doesn't change. That's about 10% of it. The other 90% is the health of the eye. We need to look inside the eye.
Hmm.
And that's what our doctor does. And that's how we diagnose stuff early. They don't do that on the internet.
No.
They're giving you numbers. The numbers is a small part of that eye exam. That's the refraction part. Okay. You want to make sure you come in for the medical part.
Right, right. Have you had people bring in prescriptions from somewhere and then you look at them and then maybe, how do you handle that? I mean, do you just make it off of what they brought you?
You have to, yeah. No, okay. They bring in a doctor's prescription, you fill it to the doctor's.
And then sometimes has there been a deal where wow, this is not right.
Yep, that happens. Yeah. And then, you know, now, just so you know, we guarantee other doctors' prescriptions. So if they have a problem, you can go back. If the doctor changes, it's not going to charge you, even if it's not from our doctor.
Okay, wow.
But one nice thing about our doctor, we get very few doctors' changes.
No.
He nails it pretty good.
Sure.
But no, that does happen.
Yeah. Once again, it's Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. And as I mentioned earlier, since 1968, they've been doing it. So, hey, maybe you've been neglecting your eyes and getting your eye exam. And maybe it's just time for some new glasses, maybe some new sunglasses and all the different tints and all the different things Alan can help you with. And he has a great staff there. They spend the necessary time with you to get you taken care of. Now, as far as the frames and stuff, let's go back to your shooting glasses mm-hmm. here a little bit. Kind of tell us about that, because what I was so surprised about is the ease. I mean, because you can make it look easy because you handle it every day, but it really is easy switching out the lenses.
Yeah. Yes.
And I want to just talk about
that.
It's
very intuitive. On these, I call it the Stack Sports Pack. Let's say you wanted to have your shooting glasses, but then you wanted a pair of driving glasses. So you can just pop out the lens. It takes a second mm-hmm. to pop out your lens. It's very intuitive how it goes back together. So you can have a couple different lenses with the same frame.
Yeah.
So that kind of cuts down on the cost.
It's so easy. Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned driving earlier. Boy, as we age, that is one thing that, boy, the glare gets you on the highway. And I mean, I know people that just don't drive at night because, you know, just glare.
You know,
what's going to help them the most?
A lot of times, a good eye exam. Because people don't realize, you know, we start to get older and we've had perfect, the only thing I need is reading glasses. But I'm having a hard time at night and this kind of stuff. And they still are seeing 20/20, 20/25, but it turns out they have a little bit of a correction in their distance. That makes a huge difference at night.
Right.
You might not notice it during the day. So you might make yourself a pair of night driving glasses. Doesn't mean they're going to be yellow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times a yellow isn't a great way to go because it actually cuts down on the amount of light getting into the eye.
Sure.
But you might have a little astigmatism that you didn't realize. We correct that, put an anti-reflective coating on the lens, and all of a sudden, oh, wow, I can see at night.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a huge difference. So a lot of times it comes down to that eye exam.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're having some problems with night driving, come in. Mm-hmm. It can also be a sign of early cataracts, you know, because the cataract is that lens inside the eye starts to yellow a little bit. It starts cutting out the amount of light getting into the eye. Hey, that hasn't been diagnosed.
Right.
Maybe that's why you're having problems. There could be so many different issues.
Mm-hmm.
But it all starts with a
good eye
inexpensive
exam.
Eye exam.
$69.
Right.
I mean, you've been that forever. How do you do that?
Well, my doc has been awesome.
Yeah.
You know, he's semi-retired and he just loves doing the eye exams.
Yeah.
And it's not with him. It's not about the money. It's just about the care.
Yeah. And boy, excellent care for sure. Last thing I want to bring up. I just thought about this. I had a friend I met with the other day, and we were kind of talking about contact in one eye, and he goes, yeah, he goes, that didn't work for me. He goes, but I'm thinking about getting that surgery where just one eye, you know, can help me with breathing.
I'm just uncomfortable about surgery on a perfectly healthy eye.
I said, there's no guarantee with surgery, and with glasses, they can continue to work things and change things, whatever,
right.
to help
you. Yeah, once you start cutting on the eye, that's it.
So I'm just not a big fan of that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, and if you do decide to do it, make sure you've got a good doctor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, once again, repairs Alan can handle. If you just need a new set of glasses, hey, as I mentioned earlier,
Snow season is going to be here, ski season, all that. And, hey, make sure you're protecting your eyes up there on the slopes as well. And if you've got a difficult prescription and maybe you just gave up, no one could help you with it. Get by and see Alan. It is Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. The number is 303-321-1578. It is stackoptical.com, a great website. You can go on there and look at all the different things. And Alan, hey, last thing, my second last thing, your reviews, man, I'm telling you. When people take the time today to talk about how someone took care of them, that's extra special because everybody's just busy. But man, you've got a ton of great reviews.
Yeah, my clients have just been awesome when they come in. And you know, it's something to keep in mind. You know, let's say you've got a screw that's missing or a nose pad that's missing. Come in, we'll take care of it. We don't charge you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll see that on the Google reviews.
Right. You know? Yeah. And super easy parking, hey, right there at Monaco and Evans, just pull right up and just a few feet to the front door, so that's super easy as well. 2233 South Monaco Parkway, 303-321-1578. Alan, always good to see you,
sir.
Thank
you, Scott.
We'll look forward to our visit next time.
Great.
We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now. 303-806-8886.
What's in a name? For Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the name perfectly describes the state-of-the-art veterinary medical facility that we trust. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and for over 20 years, trust is why we have chosen Lone Tree Vet for all of our pets' medical needs. They provide a wide variety of medical and surgical services and utilize state-of-the-art methods, protocols, and technology. Whether your pet needs medical, dental, or surgical care, you can trust the medical team at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. We all know that making the decision for our pets to have a medical or surgical procedure is not always an easy one, but at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they understand the hesitation and anxiety that accompany leaving a pet for any type of procedure. Whether it's a spay or neuter surgery, a laparoscopic surgery, or a complex orthopedic surgery, the professional team at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is dedicated to making your pet feel comfortable and special. If your pet needs medical care, call 303-708-8050 today. That's 303-708-8050. And for more information, visit them online at LoneTreeVet.com.
Hey, Dan, you know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
Let me remind you, coming up next is Food Chat. Hey, this is a great show, and you're going to learn a lot about food, where it comes from, food production. Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb will be with you, so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for Food Chat.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride the trails. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Food Chat, a weekly show that's all about food production, including farming, ranching, processing, and basically all things involved in getting food from the field to your plate. Now, let's get you reconnected to your food, and here are your hosts, Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb.
Talk about an uphill battle, 2,000 acres of beans and cattle. But he don't ever get rattled. He just goes till the sun goes down.
Hey, welcome to Food Chat. Food Chat is all about food. Basically how food gets from the farm to the field to your table. And I have Chef Jackson Lamb in studio today, and we're going to be talking about food safety because the holidays are coming up. And Chef Jackson Lamb is an expert when it comes to food safety. Chef, welcome to the show.
Well, Greg, thank you very much, and I'll tell you, Food Chat has become a great process to learn all about the foods that come to our table. So, you know, we're talking about food safety today because, you know, as we look down the road, we've got some of the biggest food holidays coming up, and in many cultures, not just, not just Christmas and Thanksgiving, but we have Kwanzaa, we've got Passover is coming, we've got several different holidays in all different cultures, and many of them are food-based. So anyway, I think it's a great idea that we have an opportunity to share with our audience.
Yeah, because when the holidays come, that means you have friends and family over for food gatherings, and the last thing you want to do is get your friends and family sick because you're not being careful with food safety. And now, you're an expert in this field, so we're going to get later in the show into steps that listeners can take at home to ensure they're practicing good food safety measures. But let's talk a bit about your experience, Chef. You know, what are the rules and regulations in grocery stores and in restaurants regarding food safety?
Well, I think it's a very important fact that we should share with our audience that the National Restaurant Association has a program out there called Serve Safe. And it really does address all aspects of food safety, you know, primarily from a restaurant and grocery store perspective. And it's really how we handle food from the time it comes inside the back door to the time it's stored, put on display, or in a restaurant environment, it's cooked to order and served to the customer. So there are a lot of safety regulations already in place that I think we're going to share with the public today, just because I think it's important that they know that their food is pretty safe. And most of the cities and municipalities in Colorado and nationwide require someone on the staff to be certified with a National Restaurant Association ServeSafe certification. So from there, we can really talk about food safety.
Well, let's start with the product coming in the back door at a restaurant. The product arrives on a delivery truck. So, Chef, why don't you start there with the ServeSafe food safety measures taken from the time the food arrives and goes into the walk-in or the cooler or the freezer before it even gets to the counter and then after it comes out of the refrigerator. So let's start at the beginning.
Well, you know, Greg, we need to be aware that a lot of times when we have a problem with the quality of food, somewhere along the line, we had a time or temperature abuse issue. So when we are receiving a product through the front, through the back door, how does that seafood look? Do the eyes look clear or do they look cloudy? Is the flesh firm or is it soft and mushy? These are the kinds of signals that are taught through the ServeSafe system, so we know we're receiving products that are of good quality. The same thing goes with receiving dairy or cheese, all the other proteins, we want to make sure that everything has been held in the proper temperature zone so that once we get it to the restaurant or to that grocery store, it can go on to its next situation, which might be serving our plates to restaurants in the neighborhood, or it might be food that's on the shelf at a grocery store.
Right. Well, you know, it makes sense to me that, like, visually, if you're receiving tomatoes or lettuce or some fresh produce item, that you use your eyes to see how that product looks before you'd receive it or make sure it's fresh. But, you know, what about temperature? You said time and temperature. What sort of things would a restaurant chef be looking for that a consumer at home might want to copy as far as temperature or temperature abuse regarding, like, perishables?
Terrific question there, Greg. Here's a great trick. A lot of times in restaurants, hotels, or large quantity operations, they're receiving dairy products by the case. The trick there is to put a thermometer in between the milk cartons and register that temperature, because probably the temperature in between the cartons is the temperature of the milk. So when we check temperatures upon receiving of products, you know, we can certainly turn away products that are out of the danger zone. Well, what is the danger zone?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, Chef, what is the danger zone? You said the danger zone. What is that?
I know. I threw that out there, and I paused a little bit because I recognized there's a term that we use in the restaurant industry, but the public really doesn't know that at all. So really what the danger zone is we see that bacteria and other pathogens grow in between 40 degrees and 141 degrees. And so when we have a milk product, let's say we have whole milk, it's been left out for half a day. Now it's at room temperature, 72 degrees. You know, there was bacteria in there. That bacteria has now multiplied because the milk has been in the danger zone and it allows the bacteria to multiply. So, you know, the whole idea is to not serve food within that range unless, of course, it is fresh fruits and vegetables or even ready-to-eat food such as sandwiches should be served at a refrigerated temperature of probably 38 to 40 degrees.
Right. So, you know, most refrigerators at home and even commercially are, you know, 38 to 40 degrees. So basically, if it's not in the refrigerator or on the stove heating up, it shouldn't be out much time in the counter. And, you know, one thing that I think is important for people to think about is delivery services now. People get their groceries delivered. And all of the grocery stores do this now, which is a great service, and it's awesome. But one thing to think about is most of these cars are not refrigerated. And if a guy's delivering like 10 orders of product, and then yours is the 10th one, and it takes 3 hours to get to you, you may want to be a little particular about how warm is the milk and how warm is the cheese and how – just take a look at that because, you know, at the – where I work, Chef, we have these laser thermometers, and they used to be real expensive, and now they're really reasonable. You can buy them for like 30, 40 bucks. But if you're going to order online and get your food delivered fresh, you might want to have one of these. You point your little laser gun at it, and it tells you this is at 49 degrees. You know, so if your milk or your cheese comes in from your delivery and it's at 55 degrees, you'd probably want to not accept that product, you know, so that you wouldn't get your guests sick. But What other things can people do at home to make sure they're not in the danger zone, Chef?
Well, I think that I like the story that you've brought up, and I'd like to come back to that one in a little while. But I think that a lot of times in a home environment, you know, that it's like having that big family dinner and sit down for 12 to 20 people. You know, a lot of times we do run out of space in the oven, we run out of space in the refrigerator, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the whole idea is to make sure, I'll tell you, the original idea here is to serve hot food hot and cold food cold. But here's the best thing to remember, Greg, hot food, hot. If we've got, it's Thanksgiving dinner, it's Kwanzaa, it's Christmas, it's, we've got prime rib, we've got turkey, whatever it is. If we went up and with the turkey and went to 165 degrees, we went through the danger zone, we cooked it all the way, and if that comes back down to through the danger zone, we've already cooked all the badness out of there. So it's important that we recognize that going through and cooking above and beyond the danger zone allows us to have leftovers.
And you brought up a good point regarding using a thermometer to know that your turkey or your meat is at 165, because otherwise you don't know that your meat is that hot. You know, I wouldn't even rely on the little pop-up that comes sometimes in some turkeys. That little pop-up thing is a very cheap thing, and that's great for convenience, but I would still encourage people for better food safety is just use a thermometer to check to make sure that they're at 165 or above. You don't want to dry out the turkey. You don't need to be at 190 or 180, but at 165, all that nasty stuff is dead. Now, what other serve safe measures should people be doing at home, Chef?
You know, one of the things I mentioned earlier was proper storage of product. You know, in a lot of the refrigerators at home, we have glass shelves. They're pretty much, they're drip-free. They're not going to drip to the shelves below. But in the restaurant industry, we have those wire racks. And so one of the issues that the Board of Health looks at is don't store raw chicken above anything else, lest it starts to drip on things below it. So that's a major item that ServSafe emphasizes, is that seafood and raw chicken should always be on the bottom shelves of your refrigerators. And then the upper shelves should be occupied with your fruits, your vegetables, your other types of proteins that are already either processed or in their original packaging. But those are some of the ideas. But you know, it's amazing, Greg, when you look at the way that American domestic refrigerators are built. They're really not designed for safety and sanitation.
No, they're not. They're designed to look cool because people buy refrigerators with their eyes and on price. But what I hear you saying is, you know, you shouldn't put anything that's going to drip on the upper shelves, which could be fish, it could be meat, anything that's kind of wet is going to drip, and you don't want that dripping on the items below it. So that stuff should go in the lower parts of the refrigerator. What other things? What about, talk to us about cutting boards and why in food service do they use different colored cutting boards?
You know, Greg, when it comes to cutting boards, boy, the selection out there is huge. So, but what we really have in the market is we have wooden cutting boards and we've got plastic cutting boards. Many years ago, there was a big theory where, okay, since we've got these plastic cutting boards, we could actually color them. And so they started to designate different colors of cutting boards for different food items, such as green cutting boards for green vegetables, or white cutting boards for white fish, or a red cutting board for red meat. It was fairly simple there. And then, of course, there's the wooden cutting boards.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the wooden cutting boards. I mean, they look good and they're pretty inexpensive, but I can tell you, Chef, I've gone over to Fred's house for dinner and family's for dinner, and you see them take out the meat on the tray or a cutting board or a plate out to the grill on the deck, and then they grill it and they put it back on the same exact plate and bring it back. And, you know, that's a no-no. I mean, that's cross-contamination, and that's how you get people sick. Or even using the same utensils, you know, the raw ones versus the cutting ones. So, you know, I think cutting boards are pretty inexpensive. And I noticed that where you buy cutting boards, like even, you know, at the big stores, they do sell different colors now. So people really should be having one cutting board for produce and one cutting board for meat, and not just have one cutting board for everything. And so talk about, Chef, what about ice paddles? You see those in a commercial kitchen. Explain to the listeners what an ice paddle is.
Well, to explain an ice paddle, let's just go backwards a little bit. Anytime we cook an item, or we make a sauce, we make a soup, green chili, marinara sauce, et cetera, et cetera. If we want to chill that hot sauce, you know, we put it into a refrigerator, it might take a long time to chill down. But with an ice paddle, which really is a plastic bottle full of water that's been frozen, that you can go in there and put that into your green chili and stir it and stir it and stir it, and you're chilling the soup from the inside. It's a fantastic idea. And, of course, they have these great ice paddles you can buy commercially made. They're $100. They're $75. But, Greg, I think it's okay if you just use the regular empty plastic water bottle.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just take a water bottle, the kind you buy anywhere. I take the label off. I freeze it. And then once it's frozen and I have a big pot of chili or a big pot of soup, or I made a big batch of something that's going to last me for days, I take it off the stove. I let it cool down for a half an hour. I don't want to just put that right in my refrigerator because it's not going to chill properly from the inside. So I wash those bottles off in the sink before I put it in the soup. And I just stick a couple of them in the middle of the soup, and then I stir it a little bit, get that all mixed up, and then I put it in my refrigerator. And that's just what a commercial kitchen would do to chill their bigger pot. Maybe they're not doing 2 gallons, maybe they're doing 10 gallons of soup, so that they're not in the danger zone.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times when we talk about what restaurants have to do or grocery stores have to do, we sometimes reflect on what some of our memories are of what our family did. And let me share this with you. My dad was a big fan of split pea soup. So, you know, anytime we had, a ham shank, of course, we ate all the ham, but he'd save all the bones, and he'd make a split pea soup, but in a pot large enough, Greg. I'd be coming home from high school, and this pot, it's wintertime. This pot is parked outside the back door, cooling, you know, just because it came off the oven about an hour ago. And rather than cool it in the kitchen or in the refrigerator, they'd put it on the steps outside the back door. And so, you know, a lot of times when we think about the proper way to handle food, we look in the rearview mirror and we really chuckle at some of the things that we have seen our parents do, our relatives do, some of the things that we have done. What do you think?
Well, I think that's true. I mean, I made a lot of mistakes earlier in my career, and, just poor food safety at home. Mostly it was out of naivety. I wasn't trying to get anybody sick, but I didn't know about the danger zone. I didn't know about cross-contamination. I didn't know about how critical it was to keep food at the proper temperature. So, you know, I think a lot of times when I was a kid, though, I had an upset stomach, or I had some tummy trouble, or I had some discomfort the day after I ate something at a family get-together, I probably had some sort of food poisoning or cross-contamination or some temperature abuse, but we didn't know it. We just figured, oh, we ate too much. You know, I shouldn't have eaten that much food. But I think food poisoning is more common than we think. Another thing that I've read from the EPA, Chef, is that most of the food waste in this country is in the refrigerator at home. People buy too much food, don't store it properly. It gets temperature abused. It gets forgotten about. So we could maybe talk for a few minutes about how to eliminate food waste, or at least reduce food waste at home. Like, what are some practical things you can think of to help people reduce the amount of food that we throw away?
Yeah. Great questions, Greg. And, you know, unfortunately, when you go to some of these big membership stores, no, you can't have one. You have to buy 31, you know. And really, they force the sale on you. And so, but if you're a family of six, you're going to go through it anyway. But I'm a family of two. And so as I go through those big box discount membership stores, I'm challenged to buy stuff because for that very reason. Okay, I really like that Kung Pao chicken sauce, but it's in a really big jar, and it'll turn blue mold before I go through the whole thing. So it's really great for high volume, but you know, for small volume, no. The question then really is, what about food waste at home? I really do think that those membership things really push food waste. They should give those members an opportunity to split a package or something along those lines. And they probably come out with better PR. What do you think?
I think that's a good point. And we all buy too much food because food in this country is cheaper than most countries around the world. We spend less than 15% of our income on food here, the food that we eat at home, and that's like very low compared to the other parts of the world. So food is cheap, and therefore we maybe don't respect it as much. We buy too much. I know at my house, Jeff, I love fresh food prepared every day. So sometimes I don't really want to eat leftovers. I don't want to eat. So it kind of goes bad because I cook too much. So I think less is more, you know, cook smaller batches. And also, you know, those inexpensive storage things you buy now at Walmart and Kroger, anywhere you go, you can buy those little Tupperware containers that are disposable, but they're so cheap now, way better than Saran wrap or foil. Their thing is, you know, those vacuum seal machines that restaurants use, now you can buy those, you know, the local stores. Those are excellent. You know, suck all the air out of a bag to extend the shelf life. Could you maybe speak to that a little bit? You have a lot of experience with vacuum sealing to extend shelf life.
Well, you know, I do a lot of vacuum sealing when it comes to using sous vide, which is when you're vacuum sealing food and then cooking it in hot water. The food never touches the water, although it's submerged into the water. But from a food storage perspective, yes, freezing vegetables, freezing breads, freezing those types of items, especially if we can take the air out of those containers, and I do that on a regular basis with most things that I bag, I think it extends the shelf life, and it gives me a more compact packaging, if you will. So it's that's all good stuff.
Yeah, and those vacuum bags, when I use them, I have a Sharpie and I write on there the date that I sealed it. So that's one big difference between food service commercially and people at home, is very few people at home probably label the day they put that leftover in the refrigerator, which is a huge mistake because over the days you forget, when did I put that in here? Was it a week? Was it a day? You know, and Chef, I have a question for you. You know, if someone puts some leftovers in the refrigerator and forgets about them, how many days can they let it go before they really need to either throw it away or eat it?
Well, the answer is it depends. If you want to eat it as the item as that you originally made, it might be beyond the shelf life there. But, you know, a lot of times if I've got a leftover entree, it's beef, it's protein, it's pork. Okay, let's get rid of all the other stuff. Let's take that beef and let's reinvent it, and let's bring in some broccoli and some rice, and let's make it an Asian dish. And so as a result, I like to reinvent those types of items along those ways, which is pretty good. I don't look at food as leftovers. I look at repurposing those.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at food. You could repurpose the food into another dish. You already have it cooked. I think a lot of people just naturally, organically do that. They have some leftover rice or some leftover beans, and they just throw it into something else. You know, I think that's a pretty common knowledge. Well, we're only a couple of minutes away from the end of our show, Chef. So let's recap for those that maybe didn't hear the whole show, or just for those that did, let's just recap about food safety and keeping their guests safe during the holidays and just good food safety measures. We talked about staying out of the danger zone, and we talked about using different colored cutting boards, and we talked about using vacuum bags. What else, Chef? What else do you want to leave people with as far as practical steps to ensure good food safety?
Well, you know, we talked about a lot of the components of what ServSafe is all about, you know, which is, you know, food quality check, time and temperature abuse, cross-contamination. It's important that we know that the Denver Board of Health and most cities, they embrace these rules, and it's also their rules. So, you know, having an understanding of those rules and regulations, you can't go wrong with the Board of Health. Outside of that, I think that, you know, I think growing up, we don't have as many food safety issues at grandma's house when I was a kid as we might remember. The 5-second rule, I think that's where I learned it, at grandma's house. Cross-contamination, yeah, we probably chopped up vegetables on the same cutting board as chicken, but I'm still here.
That's because they threw it all into a big pot. Yeah, you know, it got thrown in the same pot and boiled. That's probably what.
Very, very good. All right. Well, listen, I hope that this helps our listeners with an idea of just how to make sure that you're going to have a very enjoyable holiday season.
Thank you for listening to Food Chat. Food Chat is all about food production and today, food safety. So thanks for listening. Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, that turned from green to that harvest honey. Pull one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money. Here's to the farmer's wife that loves him every night, raising a son, raising a daughter. They gather around the table, send it up to the father. Somehow they get closer when times get harder. Here's to the farmer.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.